Chapter 30. The two small clicks the blades made were not attractive sounds. Reacher's stomach clenched. He hated knives. He would have preferred it if the guy had pulled a pair of six-shooters. Guns can miss. In fact, they usually did, given stress and pressure and trembling and confusion. After-action reports proved it. The papers were always full of DOAs gunned down with seven bullets to the body, which sounded lethal, until you read down into the third paragraph and learned that 150 shots had been fired in the first place. Knives didn't miss. If they touched you, they cut you. The only opponents Reacher truly feared were small, whippy guys with fast hands and sharp blades. The big deputy was not fast or nimble, but with knives in his hands, dodged blows would not mean dull impacts to the shoulders. They would mean open wounds, pouring blood, severed ligaments and arteries. Not good. Reacher clubbed a spectator out of his seat and grabbed the empty chair and held it out in front of him like a lion tamer. The best defense against knives was distance. The best counter move was entanglement. A swung net or coat or blanket was often effective. The blade would hang up in the fabric. But Reacher didn't have a net, or a coat, or a blanket. A horizontal forest of four chair legs was all he had. He jabbed forward like a fencer, and then fell back and shoved another guy out of his seat, picked up the second empty chair, and threw it overhand at the big guy's head. The big guy turned away reflexively and brought his right hand up to shield his face and took the chair on the forearm. Reacher stepped back in and jabbed hard. Got one chair leg in the guy's solar plexus and another in his gut. The guy fell back and took a breath and then came on hard, arms swinging, the blades hissing through the air and winking in the lights. Reacher danced backward and jabbed with his chair, made solid contact with the guy's upper arm. The guy spun one way and then the other. Reacher moved left and jabbed again, got a chair leg into the back of the guy's head. The guy staggered one short step and then came back hard, hands low and apart, the blades moving to tiny, dangerous arcs. Reacher backed off, shoved a third spectator out of his seat and threw the empty chair high and hard. The big guy flinched away and jerked his arms up and the chair bounced off his elbows. Reacher was ready. He stepped in and jabbed hard and caught the guy low down in the side, below the ribs, above the waist. 250 pounds of weight punched through the blunt end of a chair leg into nothing but soft tissue. The big guy stopped fighting. His body froze and went rigid, and his face crumpled. He dropped both knives and clamped both hands low down on his stomach. For a long moment he stood like a statue, and then he jerked forward from the waist and bent down and puked a long stream of blood and mucus on the floor. He staggered away in a crouch and fell to his knees. His shoulders sagged, and his face went waxy and bloodless. His stomach heaved, and he puked again. More blood, more mucus. He braced his spread fingertips either side of the spreading pool and tried to push himself upward, but he didn't make it. He collapsed sideways in a heap. His eyes rolled up in his head, and he rolled on his back, and he started breathing fast and shallow. One hand moved back to his stomach, and the other beat on the floor. He threw up again, projectile, a fountain of blood vertically into the air. Then he rolled away and curled into a fetal ball. Game over. The bar went silent. No sound, except ragged breathing. The air was full of dust and the stink of blood and vomit. Reacher was shaky with excess adrenaline. He forced himself back under control and put his chair down quietly and bent and picked up the fallen knives, pressed the blades back into the handles against the wood of the bar, and slipped both knives into one pocket. Then he stepped around in the silence and checked his results. The first guy he had hit was unconscious on his back. The elbow to the bridge of the nose was always an effective blow. Too hard, and it can slide shards of bone into the frontal lobes. Badly aimed, it can put splinters of cheekbone into the eye sockets. But this one had been perfectly judged. The guy would be sick and groggy for a week, but he would recover. The guy who had started the evening with a busted jaw had added a rebroken nose and a bad headache. The new guy at the back of the room had a broken arm from the stool and maybe a concussion from being driven headfirst into the wall. The guy next to him was unconscious from the kick in the head. The deputy, who the stool had missed, had busted ribs and a broken wrist and a cracked larynx. Major damage all around. But the whole enterprise had been voluntary from the start. So, 5 for 5, plus some kind of a medical explanation for the sixth. The big guy had stayed in the fetal position and looked very weak and pale, like he was hollowed out with sickness. Reacher bent down and checked the pulse in his neck and found it weak and thready. He went through the guy's pockets and found a 5-pointed star in the front of the shirt. The badge was made of pewter, and 2 lines were engraved in its center. Township of Despair, Police Deputy. Reacher put it in his own shirt pocket. He found a bunch of keys and a thin wad of money in a brass clip. He kept the keys and left the cash. Then he looked around until he found the bartender. The guy was where he had started, leaning back with his fat ass against his register drawer. "Call the plant," Reacher said. "Get the ambulance down here. Take care with the big guy. He doesn't look good." His beer was where he had left it, still upright on its napkin. He drained the last of it and set the bottle back down again and walked out the front door into the night.